Title, Texture Send Automation on Snare Ghosts Intermediate. Alright, let's get into a super useful drum and bass trick, using Snare Ghost notes as texture triggers, by automating send levels in Ableton Live. The core idea is simple, but it sounds advanced when you do it right. Your main snare stays punchy, dry, and consistent on the backbeats. Your ghost snares stay quiet in the groove, but certain ones bloom into reverb, grit, or movement, so the beat feels alive and rolling, without turning into a washed-out mess. By the end of this lesson, you'll have a drum setup with a main snare that stays focused, ghost notes that selectively throw into texture, and two return tracks, one for airy space and one for controlled grit. And we'll do it with stock Ableton devices. Let's build it. Step 1. Set up your snare and ghost pattern. Create a MIDI track and drop in a drum rack. Load a main snare sample on one pad, and then load a ghost snare on another pad. The ghost snare can be a copy of the main snare, but quieter or even better, use a thinner layer like a rim foley or a tighter snare so it occupies less space. Now program a classic DNB snare pattern around 172 to 176 BPM. Main snares on beats 2 and 4. Then place a few ghost notes between them. If you want a starting point, put some ghosts around spots like 1-2-3, 1-3-4, and 1-4-2, then adjust by ear. Now, velocity matters a lot here. Main snare velocities live up high, like 100 to 127. Ghosts live low, like 15 to 45. Think felt, not heard. If you can clearly hear the ghost snare as a separate loud event, it's probably too much. You want it to tug the groove, not announce itself. And timing. This is where the roll comes from. Nudge some ghost hits slightly late, like 3 to 10 milliseconds, to get that lazy swing. Or use groove pull lightly. Small moves, big difference. If you push it too far, it starts sounding like a mistake instead of a pocket. Step 2. Build your texture returns. We're going to automate sends so the ghosts feed the texture returns, while the main snare stays mostly dry. That's the whole philosophy. Send as an accent lane, not a constant effect. On return A, let's make an air verb. Drop on hybrid reverb. Convolution or algorithmic is fine. Set decay around 0.6 to 1.2 seconds. Keep it tight for DNB. Add a little pre-delay, like 10 to 25 milliseconds, so the transient stays clean and the reverb reads a space behind the hit, not on top of it. Then filter the reverb. Low cut around 200 to 400 Hz, and a high cut around 8 to 12 kHz so it doesn't get fizzy. After the reverb, add EQ8 and high pass again somewhere in the 250 to 500 range. And if you notice the reverb fighting the snare crack, you can do a small dip around 2 to 4 kHz. Return B is your grit or noise return. Start with saturator. Try analog clip or soft sign. Drive around 3 to 8 dB and turn on soft clip. Then add auto filter. Band pass or high pass works great here. Set the frequency somewhere like 1 to 5 kHz and tune it until the ghost speaks in the mix. Add a bit of resonance, like 10 to 25%. If you want movement, add a subtle chorus ensemble for width, really gentle, or add a delay for a slap. Something like 1/32 or 1/16, low feedback, and definitely filter the delay so it doesn't cloud the drums. And remember, returns like these should generally be 100% wet, because you're blending with the send knob, not mixing dry signal inside the return. Step 3. Route only the ghost snares into the returns. You have two clean methods. The best control method is to separate your ghost snare onto its own track. Create a second MIDI track called Ghost Snare. Copy only the ghost notes into that track. Now you can automate sends for that track without risking the main snare. This is the quickest pro workflow, especially in arrangement view. If you want to keep it inside a drum rack, you can extract the ghost chain. Right-click the ghost pad chain and choose Extract Chain. Ableton will create a new track for that pad's audio. Now you've effectively separated ghost audio, and you can automate sends cleanly. The big win here is, your main snare track doesn't accidentally get drenched when you're trying to add character to the groove. Step 4. Automate the send levels for groove-based texture. This is the money move. If you're working in a loop, do it with clip automation. Click your ghost snare MIDI clip, open the envelopes in clip view, and choose mixer, then send A. This is the preferred way when you've got the ghost on its own track. Now here's a really musical way to think about it. Calibrate your send range first, then automate inside that bracket. First, set send A so the quietest ghost just barely opens the space. Like, you mute the return and unmute it and you can feel the difference, but it's not suddenly reverb snare. Then set your max send A so a featured ghost blooms, but it still doesn't mask your hats or smear the backbeat. Now, inside that range, draw automation. A good starting point. Most ghost notes sit around minus 18 to minus 12 dB on send A. Then pick a few ghosts as featured accents, maybe end of phrase hits, and spike them up to around minus 8 to minus 4 dB. That's where you start hearing the ghost note become a texture throw, not just a quiet tap. Try a call and response approach. Maybe most ghosts go to air verb lightly, but at the end of the second bar, the last two ghost notes flip to send B, the grit return, for a darker pickup into the next phrase. And a coaching note here. Prefer automation curves over hard steps. Even a tiny ramp, like 30 to 80 milliseconds up into the peak, feels more natural than a sharp jump. It mimics how our real space reacts and it helps the texture sit in the groove. Now, in arrangement view, you can use the same idea but for energy control. Keep sends lower in verses so the groove is tight. Increase sends in pre-drops, fills, and transitions so it feels wider and more animated. Then pull the sends down right at the drop for impact. That contrast is energy. A clean move you can steal. In the last half bar before the drop, ramp send A up about 3 to 6 dB. Then right on the drop, slam it back down so the drums hit dry and punchy. Step 5. Control the returns so they don't muddy the snare or the mix. Because at 174 BPM, long tails stack up fast. Texture is fun until it smears the rhythm. First, sidechain the return from the main snare. On return A, and maybe return B2, at a compressor. Turn on sidechain, select your main snare track as the input, set ratio around 3:1 up to 6:1. Fast attack, like 1 to 5 milliseconds, release around 60 to 140 milliseconds, aim for about 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction when the main snare hits. What this does is it lets you have big ghost textures, but every time the real backbeat lands, the texture politely gets out of the way. That's a tight DNB trick. Second option. Gate the texture. Put a gate after the reverb or distortion. Set it so the tail gets chopped faster. Use a fast return and a release somewhere like 50 to 120 milliseconds. This is especially useful if your reverb is overlapping into the next snare hit. And third, EQ your returns like a mix engineer. High pass around 250 to 600 Hz. If it's harsh, do a small cut around 6 to 9 kHz. If it masks the snare crack, dip 2 to 4 kHz. Don't be shy here. Returns often need more aggressive filtering than you think, because they're supposed to feel like air and character, not extra low mids. Now let's quickly cover common mistakes, so you can avoid the classic traps. Mistake 1. Oversending the ghost so the rhythm turns into wash. Keep it selective. Sends are accents. Mistake 2. No EQ on returns. That's how you get boxy, cloudy drum loops. Mistake 3. Automating the send on the main snare by accident. Suddenly your backbeat loses punch, and you'll wonder why the loop feels smaller. Mistake 4. Long reverb decay at 174 without gating or ducking. It will overlap. It will smear. Tight drums need tight spaces. Mistake 5. Too much stereo width everywhere. Keep your main snare mostly mono or center focused. Widen texture gently, not the core impact. Now a few pro tips if you want a darker or heavier DNB vibe. Instead of huge halls, go for a distorted room. Short decay, like 0.3 to 0.8 seconds, and then saturate after. That gives you weight and density without the choir in a cathedral vibe. Band pass the grit so it lives in the presence band, like 2 to 4 kHz with a touch of resonance. It'll read on small speakers and it won't fight the sub. You can also pitch the ghost layer down a semitone or two, maybe even three, just on the ghost pad. That adds menace without changing the main snare tone. And if your ghost transient gets clicky, use drum bus on the ghost track. Reduce transient slightly, and add a little drive. Ghosts should feel like glue, not extra clicks. Also, micro-variation automation. Move send B slightly every 4 or 8 bars. Not a huge change, just enough that the loop doesn't feel copy-pasted. A couple advanced options if you want to go further. You can treat velocity as send amount, so harder ghost hits naturally throw more into the return. In Live 11 or 12, expression control can help map velocity into a parameter. That way you're not drawing everything, you're performing it with a MIDI. You can also alternate between two ghost clips using follow actions in session view. One clip favors return A, the other favors return B, and they flip every bar. Record that into arrangement for evolving movement. And here's a fun one. Return side rhythm shaping. Leave the send steady and put auto pan on the return set to square wave, phase at 0 degrees, amount 100%, sync to 1/8 or 1/16. that chops the texture rhythmically without you touching the ghost pattern. One more important mixing concept, pre-fader versus post-fader sends. By default, if you lower the ghost track volume later, your post-fader sends drop too. That can mess up the balance you worked hard to automate. If you want the texture level to stay stable while you rebalance the dry ghost, switch the send to pre-fader. In Ableton, you can right-click the send on the return to toggle pre/post, depending on your version and settings. Pre-fader is especially helpful late in the mix when you don't want to break your automation. Alright, quick 15-minute practice exercise to lock this in. Make a 2-bar D&B loop, main snare on 2 and 4. Add 4 to 8 ghost snares tastefully. Create return A for air verb and return B for grit. Stock devices only. Automate the ghost track like this. Send a steady and low on most ghosts. Send B only on the last ghost before beat 2, and the last ghost before beat 4. Add sidechain compression on return A keyed from the main snare. Then bounce it and listen. Ask yourself, does the groove feel more alive without losing punch? If it feels messy, lower the send peaks by 2-4 dB and slash or high pass the returns more. To wrap up, here's the big takeaway. Ghost snares are not just groove notes. They're perfect texture triggers. Build dedicated returns for air and grit. Automate the sends rhythmically, and keep your main snare consistent while the ghosts do the spatial work. Then use ducking, gating, and EQ to keep everything tight at D&B tempo. And in arrangement, use texture for transitions and pull it back at impact moments. If you tell me your D&B flavor, like liquid, jungle, neuro, jump up, or deep minimal, I can suggest a specific return chain and a simple 8 or 16 bar automation map that fits that vibe.